irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And that you would be on a pretty spectacular day here in Los Angeles, wouldn't
That's
you
right.
say?
No kidding. That beautiful sky after the rain. Isn't it gorgeous?
And are those the clouds behind those hills, or are those
no clouds.
Snow-top mountains?
Nah, you know what? I say begone rain clouds. We'll call them snow-top mountains, although I think you're
no,
right.
No, I said snow-capped.
Snow-capped, yes. But I think the clouds, I mean, don't you think the clouds look like not rain clouds for once?
They do. They right? look like they are capping mountains behind them.
Yeah, that's
but
beautiful.
It's not so.
Of course, we're here in beautiful Sherman Oaks, California,
which, we
is,
are.
Which is always such a fun place to be.
So. Yeah, when it's this lovely
right?
outside.
Gorgeous
right?
view.
Before we get into all of that, why don't we thank our sponsors, huh? We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed, and in studio with us today, Andrew, are three of the most talented and diverse young performers in all of Los Angeles. So let's say a hello to this year's winner and first and second runners-up. Please welcome the incomparable Daniel Belucci.
Hello.
Belushi, excuse me.
Belushi, yeah.
Yes, my tongue got stuck there.
So close,
that's why
so
that
close.
Happened.
And first and second runners-up, the wild and zany Mitchell Turner.
Ooh, thank
and the
you.
Gloriously gifted Miss Natalia Vivano.
Vivino.
Vivino, of course. Welcome, guys. Welcome all. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Yeah, so no trouble getting here. The LA freeways didn't bother any of you, right?
Not
it was
at
a
all.
Straight shot for
they
you.
They knew we had to come to State of the Art, so
yes.
they cleared a path.
Oh, my. That's nice. Wouldn't that be nice if that always happened?
Oh,
because then I'd get here on time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Andrew, as executive producer of the LA's Next Great Stage Star event, I must say that when I conceived and developed the idea to open Stage Star in 2006, I never dreamt, actually, that we would be here 11 years later as the only musical theater competition of its kind in the Western United States, with no signs of it slowing down, I might add, and no idea that the likes of the fabulous Princess Cruises would eventually become our presenting sponsors.
So, I hear you, brother. Yeah. So let's talk to these beautiful stage stars, shall we?
I think we should, don't you?
Absolutely.
Right away, right out of the gate. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, was born and raised a Los Angeles native. He is currently a junior at California State University, Northridge, studying music. He has a passion for both music and theater. His favorite credits include the Robert Jason Brown musical Parade, in which he appeared as Leo Frank, the drowsy chaperone, as the man in the chair, as Matt, the star-crossed lovesick young boy in The Fantastics, as Cookie in Nice Work If You Can Get It, and he's just winding up a successful run as Bobby Strong in the musical You're in Town for the Courage Theater Company at the Lancashire Arts Center. Give it up for the first ever male winner of LA's Next Great Stage Star 2017, Daniel Belucci. Do you bring those guys with you?
Yes, everywhere I go.
Wow, the first ever male winner. That's 11 years, right?
11
and,
years.
And beautiful ladies have won it every year yep. until your ugly mug comes in here and changes the world.
Finally.
Well done, Daniel. Well done. Way to stand up for the guys. I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.
Well, it was certainly well-deserved. I had the pleasure. Of course, I was there with Hoyt that night and
right.
got to see the second to final show. And I think that was the show where, it was the top group was very clear. I thought these were all strong performers, but I thought it was a very clear top group, and the three of you certainly gave amazing performances. Daniel, what was that like to be on stage knowing that it was winding down and you dedicated all this time to this amazing thing? Were you sorry to see it go, or were you happy that it was coming to an end?
Oh, so happy. It's, you know, it's, you get a lot of growth out of it, but it's just one of the most stressful things ever. It's
yeah.
worse than just auditioning.
Right.
Because, you know, you go to your audition, you prepare your 32 bars or whatever that you're comfortable with, that you know this is your song that you want to sing. But in Stage Star, you are, you know, pigeonholed into whatever category, and you kind of have to find a song that is good, but it also fits into the category, but it also is good for you, but it's also good to do the full song for judges and get the feedback right away. So it's, I don't know, it's just, it's really nerve-wracking, but obviously super helpful to hear feedback on the spot to be able to,
right,
you know, start to apply it every week, because I really felt like that was where my strength was, as I started fine, and then, you know, each week felt like I was really taking what they were saying to me into account, mm-hmm, until, you know, the grand finale or whatever.
That's what it was, quite grand, actually. And you know what you just said, Daniel, is very true, because it's absorbing that information, that's the most important thing, and then taking it home with you in the week that follows that performance and putting it into the next song in the way that you have interpreted what they're saying. Because it's very subjective, you know. Everyone thinks alike. Those judges have sometimes a difference of opinion, and that kind of puts you on the spot in having to take from that then what makes the most sense to you as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's always what they tell you in... which was something we told you all as a group of 18 in this competition, is they tell you what they don't say at an audition, because there's frankly no time to say it.
Right.
And from the time you walk into the room to the time that you leave, you know, they're paying attention to you. It's just that you don't particularly realize it in such a detailed way, what's going on in their own minds. And the only reason that you might feel badly about the audition is maybe because you never heard back, and it's because you don't really know what that answer is. Maybe you're too tall, too short, too whatever. It
too
may
short.
Not have anything to do with your, you know, your vocal ability or your acting ability.
Sure.
It's just what it is at that moment in time.
So every job I've ever lost, it wasn't because I blew the audition. It was because I had too long a hair or too strong a jawline. Right? That's right.
Well, now you're justified.
That's right. Right. Finally, I understand. You know, it's funny. We talk about, you know, what a hard scenario that is to be up there on stage. And you're not just performing. You're not just giving a performance for your audience to enjoy, although they certainly did enjoy all of your performances. You're also trying to get the job, right? You're trying to get these agents to like you. You're trying to get the people to vote for you. It's a hard thing to do. Daniel, what was it like in preparing for that, different from preparing for a show that you've had rehearsals for week in and week out with a group of people who you know you can depend on like that?
The difference is, you know, it's night and day. Doing a show and getting with your cast, and you have the full book, and you know exactly what you're doing, and you have your journey laid out for you,
yeah,
so to speak, and you get to try new things and have your director say, like, this works, this doesn't. Keep
so you
this,
did have a director. And did you have a director who worked with you for each piece that you did for this one?
No.
No, so you didn't have
That's
any of that
feedback.
That's
where the difference is.
My goodness.
I worked with my vocal coach on the... you know, the actual singing of each song to make sure it was up to par. But I, for the performance of each piece, I really just sat down by myself and thought, what do I want to do with this?
No director to screw you up,
well,
right?
No,
just get in there and do
in
it.
In an audition, you don't have your director either. And
yeah,
that's I
it's
think, where my weakness is I work really well with people trying to help me, and
yeah,
I take feedback very strongly, and I interpret it very well, I feel. And so I wanted to stretch those muscles for myself and try to make the right decision the first time.
Right.
Without the second try, because there is none. There isn't one.
Right.
You have week one and week two, and you just keep going for until the end, and
That's right.
You don't get any redos. Oh. So I really wanted to, you know, get... I got more growth out of working it by myself than I would have someone telling me what to do.
Sure.
And I think that makes sense, because
Absolutely.
That means that you were true to who you are. Excuse me, true to who you are as a person and as a performer, and you know, employing the things that are also natural for you as an actor, be it an internal, you know, take on the song, and also the external delivery of what you're, you know, putting out there, which in both numbers, quite frankly, your gestures and your body language was completely right. So however much time it took you to put that together, It was amazing, really. The first song was very different. It was the Butterfly Effect from the story of my life.
Just the Butterfly is the title.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Slight typo.
I didn't know
it's actually the Butterfly Effect.
On the sheet music, it just says the Butterfly.
Yeah. And, on the actual
and on the soundtrack.
Wow.
Oh, well, then I stand corrected because it's listed both ways when you reference the show and it comes up.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. So the Butterfly. Beautiful song. Very, very, not done very often. So it was kind of a lovely thing to hear the story of that particular song, which was very endearing. And then what he did as his second and final number, because he was saved by the judges.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Saved.
So does that mean somebody was going to, so you didn't have the scores initially, but then they asked you to come back and sing again?
Yes. Yeah. My first several weeks were not quite great.
Wow. So from almost, I mean, that's a wild card coming in and winning the whole thing. That's pretty impressive.
It's only happened on each of the saves, which have only been in existence for the past 3 years. It's never affected the winning position, but this is the first time that it has actually.
Wow.
And his scores were good. It's just that the push started happening. Push started happening in week five with most everyone in the competition. Their scores accelerated in that week. And maybe it's because it is week five, or maybe it's because corners were starting to be turned by all of you as individuals in kind of really revving up for what was ahead, which wasn't much longer at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the audience did not have an opportunity to vote at the finale. So it was strictly the judges, and there were 18 of them in the house, and they... Yes, they have an option to exercise that, and they did. So I think everybody was quite happy about that, including you.
I certainly was, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Daniel Belushi today, the winner of 2017's edition of LA's Next Great Stage Star. And obviously, Michael, you've done this for over a decade now. Yes. This was the first
almost.
Year you had, well, 11 years, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking 12.
Almost a decade.
All that college finally paid off, man, I'm telling you.
I know. But this is 12 registered in my head. A dozen, I thought you said.
Well, finally. It's okay. We're in the arts. We don't have to have
there
the math,
go.
Man.
That's
don't worry about it.
Damn
so
it.
Now, tell me, this is the first year you didn't host it. You had the amazing Justin Michael Wilcox,
yes.
who we love so much.
So funny.
He stepped right. Yeah, was that hard not to laugh at him?
Oh, my God,
I thought about that a couple times. He would make jokes. And I'm thinking, man, if I heard that joke, I'd be laughing all the way through my song. And if I'm singing Jason Robert Brown or something, you know, it could be tough. So, but now, was it strange, Michael, to step back and watch somebody else take your baby and kind of run with it while you stayed as just an executive producer,
you
not
know,
a host?
It was actually not as... strange as I thought it might be, let me put it that way, because it's I have so much to do with the producing of the event itself that it kind of would always rob me of what I would do on stage as a host, or at least I felt that way.
Right.
And my style is very different from Justin's, and what I wanted to do with this particular year when I made the decision that I was done was find someone that, first of all, that was more youthful and also that had this amazing energy and the ability as a performer to sing and to dance. Not that we were going to ever employ that necessarily in the competition, which we did on the finale number, which you didn't see, Singing in the Rain. And he was kind of the anchor to that number. But Justin is a very unique person. He's a very unique performer, and he brings a huge level of fun and energy to whatever he does.
No doubt.
Even if it's talking in a parking lot, you
so
know,
you should know that
so
he delivers that in a parking lot as well as on
does,
stage.
Indeed.
So, ladies and gentlemen, why buy a ticket? Just catch Justin after the show, and you'll get the exact same performance.
That's
pretty amazing.
Right. So, for me, it gave a great facelift to the competition. I couldn't have been happier.
Well, and it was interesting too because he has a very different type of personality than you, and it was funny to watch because you have a very soothing way about you. But Justin got up there, and man, he hypes people up. He loves musical theater. He gets people excited. And that was fun to see so many people on that stage at such a high energy level. I'm not sure that it would have been good for me as a performer. I would have freaked out a little bit, but that's probably one of many reasons that I wasn't invited to be a part of LA's Next Great Stage Star this year, despite my decrepit age as well. So, Daniel, I want to know, man, when did you know that you had this thing in the bag? When did it click and you said, that's what I did, I've got this thing covered?
I don't think until the end of my final song, seeing the audience reaction, and even maybe mid-song, I had never had to hold for laughs
that
often.
Interesting.
I've done the song before in a different way, but you know, everyone was so receptive, and I really got to play and kind of craft that performance of the song as I was doing it.
When you had, this was tough competition. I mean, every performer there had really something special to offer. It must have seemed tight every week to see you couldn't get any separation from these people. That's amazing to see that. Now, at the end of this performance, Michael, at the end of the finale, of course, I wasn't there. The top five sang one more song. Is that correct?
After all of the 18 perform, then the announcement is made of who is the top five.
Wow.
And then the judges are given the prerogative if they want to bring someone back. If they bring someone back, it's a sixth person. All six contestants then have to sing a second song.
Wow. Now, I know you had an amazing sponsor, a couple amazing sponsors this year, including Princess Cruises.
Yes.
What were the prizes that were for the top winners here?
A $2,500 cash prize.
So Daniel's buying lunch after this. We're all headed out.
Let's go.
Drinks all around for people he doesn't know.
That's right. Not old enough to drink yet. Are you 21 yet?
I am. Yeah. I just turned 21.
Okay, well, then good. Taking us out. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then were there other prizes as well?
And a headlining engagement at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. Nice little place up the street.
I've heard of it. Yeah. The management's a little iffy there, right? Though I've heard. It's a beautiful space. Yeah. In fact, the reason I couldn't be there, because I was at the beautiful Federal with the amazing club that Michael's put together up there. And I got to tell you, I was lamenting not being there with these young performers because I was dying to see who won. But Mark Ginsburg was absolutely amazing. Let's talk about him a little more in the show.
Absolutely. Cool. We will. Mark is a very special guy, and this is something that he and I talked about for a long time. He's gained quite a lot of popularity as being a leading man out here in musical theater. He's from New York. He and his wife, also a performer, and they have a beautiful young baby. And Mark is just starring in one show after another.
Was it hard not to be able to be there and see Mark?
It was. I mean, he's not only he's a good friend of mine, too, and we talked about this opportunity for him for, at least 6 months.
Yeah.
And the dates simply conflicted, you know, the stage star dates at another venue, and when Mark decided he was going to do this, his headlining engagement at the club. And sure, I was there in spirit, but he was very understanding, very sweet about it, which is why I appreciate you going.
It's my pleasure.
And representing us, so to speak, and this program in seeing his act.
Well, after we finish with Mr. Belushi here, we'll do a quick review of Mark's work, which is obviously fantastic. But I want people to know how they can get involved with Stage Star for the 12th year. How can people find out more about this?
Well, they can simply, of course, pay attention to BroadwayWorld.com, which is a great supporter and deliverer of information that has anything to do with the arts, really, in this country and around the world. Mm-hmm. And or go to my website, which is Michael Sterling and Associates, and learn about it. Come December of this year will be the actual auditions for our 2018 production of Stage Stars. So very simple, and a lot of word of mouth, and they can also get it out of backstage newspaper and various and sort of places like that.
And the name of the show is LA's Next Great Stage Star. Mm-hmm. It's essentially, would you say it's modeled somewhat after American Idol and that
little bit,
sort of thing?
Except we're pointing it toward Broadway as opposed to pop music.
And if I'm correct, a number of performers have actually appeared on Broadway directly after doing this show. Is that correct?
Not directly, necessarily, but not too long after,
How many performers total have made their Broadway debut?
17.
Wow. From Stage Star.
From Stage Star.
From 11 years of Stage Star, 17. Yeah. So no pressure, Daniel.
Good luck 18's with that, coming up.
Well, now, what are you in now, man? What do you got going on?
I don't have anything lined up, but I'm currently still playing Bobby Strong in Courage Theater's production of You're in Town.
How long does that run?
We close this weekend.
Wow.
And you know
25th.
What I like about that company is because it is pay what you want.
Well, that's the perfect price for me.
You can pay $1 to see what I think is a great production.
Careful, I got a big family. I'll take all the seats for a dollar. That's amazing. So where are they located?
Lancashire Arts Center.
Yeah. Okay.
So upstairs.
It's kind of
North
historic,
Hollywood,
isn't it? Right?
NoHo,
And how can people get tickets for that? Do you know off the top of your head if they go
to...
You can
go online to courage.org. Or you can show up at the door. I believe online the minimum is $10. So if you really want to pay what you want, as a dollar or whatever, you do have to show up at the door and risk the possibility of not having a seat.
Well, we joke about that, but their shows are fantastic, and they're certainly worth the price of admission. And obviously, for some of our performers who may not have the cash on hand, that kind of seats as you go is a great way to do it. But we'd encourage you to go online and book those seats and get in there and enjoy one of their great productions, particularly your in town.
Is it actually pronounced Courage?
Courage, yes.
But it's not spelled that way.
No, it's spelled weird. I don't really...
Which is why I said Courage.
I haven't discussed the story of the naming of the company with them yet.
Yeah, we'll have to have them on for a whole different segment on that. So.
But it has to do with their logo. It's like that heart logo is on fire or something. I'm not really sure.
Before we let you go, Daniel, I just want to ask one question, because I, you know, for the finale and for most of the weeks in the competition, would spend my time up in the booth looking down at the stage.
Which is actually how Michael always likes to be. It's his godlike complex to be above everyone else staring down.
Not at all. I actually was working up there with our technical director.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Fixing little things every moment.
Yeah,
huh?
Probably much to his dissatisfaction.
He locks the door.
I was so emotional on the last week. I really was, to watch every one of you do your thing after, you know, it's a lot of emotional investment through the, as you were saying, through the entire 6 weeks that we're together. And not that it isn't that way in a book show or anything else, but we have a chance to perhaps, you know, get a little... know each other quicker than you would if you had 3 or 4 months, you know, working on a show and then doing the show and that type of thing. So when Mitchell and Natalia and Daniel and anybody else was singing, you know, during the first half of that, I just got very choked up. And then when the five were announced, and then when you were saved as a sixth person, what was going through your mind?
Well, they were announcing the top five. And, you know, one kept going after another, and I was like, oh.
You start trashing the dressing room. That's it. Six weeks.
Oh, he's on stage.
I didn't do it.
Oh, he's on stage.
He's off stage. Oh,
we were all backstage. Yeah. We were all kind of huddled and listening and, you know, obviously supporting the people who were called. But, you know, obviously we're going to be a little upset if we're not.
And the nerves have to be just out of control.
The final fifth person was called, and I was devastated. Oh. I was like, oh, no. I thought I had really brought it enough these past few weeks to make it. And so, you know, and then the save thing is announced. I'm like, okay, well, maybe.
Right.
At that point, the spirits are low. So I'm not going to just be like, oh, well, I'm going to be the save. Yeah. So we're good. You know, so I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then finally the save pick was announced. And I was ecstatic because I could not wait to sing my second song.
That's great. Well, I tell you, even just the one performance that I saw, Michael, I felt very connected to the performers, because you realize how hard it is for them to do what they have to do.
Sure.
To get up there and to take that kind of criticism in front of family and friends, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing. But more than that, you want to champion them, because they just seem like they are so talented but working so hard to follow their dreams. You want to be involved in that. That's what makes Next Great Stage Star such an amazing thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why we do it, to kind of further, you know, that opportunity for all of these people who actually deserve it. And you know, it will come to everybody, I think, at the time that it's supposed to come. So whether it's, you know, 3 years from now and you're on Broadway, or whether it's in 6 months, anything and everything can happen. So
it's absolutely true.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to talk about Mark's show real quickly here.
Let's do
Mark
it.
Ginsburg.
Mark Ginsburg is the very model of a modern American male. He is quirky and talented, honest yet reserved, funny yet with a deep sense of authenticity. His solo performance, I've Gotta Be Me, whether I like it or not, at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, was not only a perfect fit for the beautiful venue, but also showed off the vocal chops and malleable personality that makes Mark such an endearing and versatile performer. With a set list that covers John Lennon, musical theater, and Disney classics, Mr. Ginsburg successfully carves out a unique cabaret performance that makes his audience feel like he is part of their family. This up-close and personal portrait shows that this actor is equally adept playing leading men or character roles, but above all, that Mark is a performer you will honestly enjoy getting to know. I can't say any more than that. That is so true. It's like you felt like you wanted to be Mark's best buddy. And what's scary is I think everybody else in that audience felt the same way, because they all went up to shake his hand afterwards like they'd been lifelong friends, you know? So I think Mark seems so accessible. He brings that to each character.
Yeah, you know? He's very much a chameleon in that sense. We've seen him do, how many roles was it in one show? It was
18
roles.
I think it was 18 roles at the Falcon, and he's, I mean, you just pour him
into the skin. And they were distinctly
different. Right. And I mean, it's he can move. He's a great mover. He dances. He can sing, of course. But he can sing in a way that is legit, or he can sing in a comic way. He says in the show, he says he's a great fan of the Patter song, which I think is interesting. The cabaret that obviously you've built there upstairs at the Federal is one of my favorite places to visit, because you do feel like you're getting something you can't get anywhere else in LA. That sort of theater doesn't exist anymore. This is a musical theater performer with legit musical singer talents and acting ability who's giving a close-up concert where you're 20 feet away from the stage sometimes, you know. So it was really a lot of fun to watch him. Was he fun to work with, Michael?
He was.
I noticed on his hand he had a cast. He went into this a little bit. He'd been in a car accident 2 weeks before he had to do his solo concert. I can't even imagine, you know, just the stress and the pain of having to do that.
The show must go on.
That's right. Yeah. And his beautiful wife came up on stage. Yeah. He had a couple guest artists come up there. So, Mark is one of our favorites here on the show. There's no doubt about that. But I gained a new respect for some of the other aspects of his personality. He was such an amiable and affable performer. You got up close and personal with him. And he keeps a little bit reserved. He doesn't just say, I'm just going to talk about anything.
Right.
He gives a very solid, structured performance. But it's very honest and very open, which I think is what you want in a cabaret scenario.
Well, yes, very much so. And that kind of is the definition of cabaret, actually.
Yeah.
You know, you're very raw. You're in one. It's all about you. The people have come to see just you.
Sounds perfect for me.
Let's see it.
But he can't sing or dance.
Details. Oh, details.
Minor details.
It's interesting to watch somebody like Mark, because in that atmosphere, you don't know how good he would be. You've seen him on stage. He's an amazing immersive performer. He digs into character. He becomes deeply involved. When he broke down his Shay in Evita, I mean, it was heartbreaking. And so you wonder if he's that interesting as himself. And it turns out he is. So I personally don't like the guy. He's too talented, too funny, too good looking. You know, it causes me all kinds of trouble out
and
there.
And too much of a nice person.
Right. Yeah. And it was interesting. You know, he brought his beautiful wife up on stage and they talked about their little boy. But it really was a fun, what was it, 90 minutes maybe? I'm sorry, from the time you're seated.
Yes, 90 minutes from the time you're seated.
So you really get a nice and enjoyable evening.
We have a nice dinner.
Of course.
In advance.
Which, by the way, I had the vanilla Manhattan.
You did?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, your liquid dinner?
Yeah, well, I took a little bit of a salmon and kale as well, which was an amazing. The Federal does a great job on everything. But if you go to the Federal and don't get some kind of drink, even if it's a non-alcoholic drink, you're really missing out, because their bartenders are fantastic there. All the people there, the staff, really good at what they do.
Yes, they are. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I had Nora and Nick, which I thought was great.
Nora and Nick.
Shout out from to Nick and Nora.
Nick and Nora. Isn't that great? Yeah, so I was like, yeah, it's perfect. But they were fantastic at what they did, and everybody there at the Federal. The food and the drink, fantastic, and the scenario and performer equally as well.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, I don't own the Federal, but I'll tell them you said that.
See, well, yeah, it's so funny, because you are so involved there, but I kind of look at you as the mayor of the building, you know? It's like, without you being there, I was kind of like, wow, the cat's away. What can I do? So, now, you saw a little theater this week, too, didn't you, Michael?
I did, but you know what? I'd rather talk to Mitchell here, and who's been so politely waiting for his turn.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Our next guest plays second this year in L.A.'s Next Great Stage Star. Credits include Fiddler on the Roof as Mendel, Mary Poppins, both at the Norris Center, and Performing Arts in Palos Verdes, the Los Angeles premiere of Moby Dick the Musical, at Three Clubs, Kiss Me Kate at the Chance Theater in Anaheim, Ruthless as Sylvia
St. Croix.
Sylvia St. Croix is I've seen Ruthless, but which character is that?
Well, she's the grandmother
of
in the
course.
Show.
Of course. Oh, she's
darling,
of course. What a great character to play at the Grand Central Theater, and Spring Awakening as Otto at the Long Beach Playhouse. He graduated from Cal State Fullerton with a bachelor's degree in theater arts. Say hello to the one and only Mitchell Turner.
They love you.
And I think it's important for our audience to know those are completely different people than the ones who clapped
for
Daniel.
We
take ones for about now.
Mitchell, you were so funny and so personable on stage.
Thank you.
Tell me what it was like for that final performance when you walked in. Did you feel like you were going to place in top five?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it's always going to go. I felt like each week I felt confident about everything I did, because I chose songs that I enjoyed, that I enjoyed doing, and I feel like I got good feedback, but you never really know. But I remember walking out for my sing-off song, I was like, I'm ready to do this, you know? For that final week, Michael and Peter Welkin, our two co-producers, chose our songs, And so Peter chose this hilarious song for me called Way Ahead of My Time. It's about a caveman. And I was just like, this is going to be so much fun. Let's go out and just, like, you know, be silly. Whatever comes of this, like, competition-wise, I'm just going to go out there and have a good time. And, yeah, it's great.
And you did.
I had a great time. I hope everyone else did.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great.
See, now that's something that comes very natural to you, your sense of humor, your sense of comedy.
Really? He seems so reserved and serious.
No, I don't think so. I can't imagine that, right?
I can't imagine it either.
No, I think that's just part of you. That's what makes you so interesting.
Absolutely.
And what audiences can, you know, come to, as his career moves forward, can come to expect of him, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I agree.
For being so young, quite frankly, you really have a handle on what you're doing.
Well, and Michael.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. I mean, that's what always surprises me in this competition is to meet these young people at these young ages and how much they have going for them in that sense of, you know, the understanding of you and being able to put that out there for other people to enjoy, whatever it is. So, yeah.
I appreciate that.
You do
Thank
it
you.
Really well, and obviously we're rewarded for that gift that you have.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Turner, what were your two songs for the finale?
So I had Way Ahead of My Time, and then my second one was Who I'd Be from Shrek, which... I love Shrek's a role that I really want to play,
right.
So I'm just going to... I know I'm kind of young, but I'm putting it out in the universe. And so this was kind of my chance to show that. And I also love doing it because, except for, I think, the first week, every number I did was comedic. Because that's something I do well. I've been doing it my whole life. I, as a person, just kind of deflect to humor naturally. And I figured, you know, in terms of judges, audience, you know, my fellow competitors, if you will... they'd all see me be funny or whatever, but I wanted to show a little more kind of my heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was really excited to make it to top five because I got the chance to do that. Because right. I got to show a little more of myself rather than just, you know, someone who's cute and bantery and can have a good time, but also someone who is very human.
Mm-hmm. Did you say bantery?
Yeah. Oh, you bet me and Justin Michael Wilcox are hosts. I felt like sometimes I was like, okay, we need to stop talking because the judges, I could tell, were like getting antsy. But I, every time, we would just be, you know, shooting the breeze.
It's
and
the Mitchell
talking.
And Justin show.
It was.
How
we
funny.
Turned into like Abbott and Costello or something.
How funny.
Or Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
That's great. That's fantastic.
That's so funny. Justin, looking at him sometimes just makes me smile, you know?
Yeah.
He's very simple. He's
lights up a room.
Yes,
indeed. I often get that when I walk into an audition. They just start laughing. I don't think it's meant quite the same way.
We've all been there.
If I fly down, like, what happens?
That's an interesting shirt, and just start laughing, and I'm like, thank you.
Now, Mitchell, are you L.A.-based?
I am. I'm born and raised in Redondo Beach, okay. So not too far off.
So you had a lot of family at the competition then, yeah?
I did. Cool. I had my parents missed the first week, which I will forgive them. but every week after that, you know, my mom has a big old Lincoln, and every week would bring up a little car full of people. So not crazy. There were some people who, I swear, half the audience most of the weeks was Hannah Bushager's family. I mean, her and Samantha Lebrecht. I'm like, they made up a whole side. But I luckily had my own like kind of little, you know, fan base, if you will, of cool. my parents and bringing up family friends. And my godmother came one weekend. My grandma came. Like, I think it was week 5, so it's fun to have family there.
Well, I know you're working nonstop and all kinds of stuff. What's the next project up for you?
I'm going to be back at the Norris, and I'm going to be in Music Man.
Cool.
Fantastic.
I'm going to be a featured dancer.
Fantastic.
Call me Cassie. I'm a featured dancer.
Fantastic.
Who is the director?
Todd Nielsen.
Todd Nielsen. He's also a former judge of Stage Star. He's so busy at this time of year that we've had... trouble getting him the last couple of years. He just wrote me a note then. He said, I want all those six people's picture.
Well, he'll be getting one of them. He got one of them. He cast one of them.
So, fantastic.
He's lovely. And Randy Brenner, of course, I think you've worked with.
I love
Fiddler
Randy.
On the Roof.
Him and Roger Castellano, who
yes.
was one of our judges.
Yes.
So it was a kind of nice little reunion. And then Maggie Randolph, who won last year,
yes.
did Fiddler. And that's how I found out about Stage Star. So... there's been a lot of little Anna Tevka reunions throughout Stage Star.
Fantastic. This is our last question, I think I want to ask, because we need to get to Natalia. But what were the pressures like? Did you have pressure? Did you feel pressure? Were you stressed out week to week?
Yes, to an extent. To make myself less stressed, I viewed it less as a competition and more as a showcase mm-hmm. and a way to test out material.
Mm-hmm.
I was familiar with a lot of my songs going in, but I think I had maybe one of them that I used for auditions. Everything else I kind of learned for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, now's my chance to test out material, get feedback, meet new people, network to an extent. But not doing it as a competition definitely put me at ease. And also, I love to just kind of go out and connect with an audience. So I was like, especially choosing more comedic songs, I was like, now I get to go out there and have fun with the audience, and I get to kind of shake up the energy a little bit. So yeah. There wasn't too much of the pressure, the nerves, but there will always be, right, when I go on stage, you know, that like your stomach drops and you have to pee and you're like, oh my God, I have to go. Like, I'm about to go do this. And no matter how, like, after an audition, I could be half asleep right when I go in, and then all of a sudden it's like that switch, you know? Yeah. So I definitely had that. But it was good nerves.
Thank goodness. I've never heard anybody put it quite
nervous,
like that.
Nervous, scared, yes. And have to pee. That's how I live my life. What are you talking about? All right. Well, shall we? Okay, we got these two dudes out of the way here. Shall we bring some True Beauty in,
yes,
on the show here today?
Yes. Excellent.
Excellent.
We'll switch seats here.
That's right. We're switching lodgings here.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, scored third place in LA's Next Great Stage Star 2017 and was most recently seen portraying Yona in Cabrillo Music Theater's production of Children of Eden, for which she received a Los Angeles Theater Alliance Ovation Award nomination in January of this year. Her favorite credits include The Addams Family as Wednesday, Legally Blonde as Vivian, and 13 as Patrice. For her work in 13, the musical, she was awarded Best Actress at the Pantages Theater's second annual Jerry Herman Awards in 2013. Coming up this spring, she will return once again to Cabrillo Music Theater in Thousand Oaks to perform in the Broadway musical Sister Act. Please welcome the thrillingly spectacular Natalia Vivino. They like you.
Miss Vivino, thank you so much for being here today. What a
Thanks
great...
Thanks for having me.
You guys were fantastic. I sat there in the audience that day, and I watched all three of you, but along with three or four other performers that day, blow the doors off. What an amazing experience it must be to get that immediate feedback on how you did from the judges, yeah?
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've never done anything quite like this before, and I like to do things that scare me because I don't want to be scared of those kind of things anymore. It used to be impossible to get me to sing in front of anyone.
It's fantastic that you're in musical theater then, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, initially when I was, you know, telling my parents that I wanted to start doing it, they were a little like, huh, that's interesting there. But you know, I it was kind of a thing where I was a kid and I kind of knew that I could do it, and I just needed to figure out how to break out of my shell. Yeah. And doing this, I mean, you put yourself in such a vulnerable position so willingly. It's like, okay, I'm going to go up there in front of a live audience and a panel of judges.
Yeah.
Sing this song, do my best, and I'm going to hear what they have to say, you know, good or bad. But, you know, regardless of if the feedback was positive or negative, it was constructive feedback, and it was stuff that I found very valuable, as I'm sure everyone else did who was participating in the competition.
Did you find yourself, either with your feedback or that of other contestants, did you ever get the idea that you really disagreed with what the judges were saying, or did you feel like pretty much what they said was spot on?
No, I agree with what they were telling me. I mean, you know, I think with the constructive feedback, which I'll say again, that's, you know, there's always going to be, I think it would have been weird if it was always great every week and like, good job, so wonderful. Like, there's always something we can improve on and get better at as artists and performers. And I guess this will sound weird, but I wanted to hear some stuff that I was maybe doing wrong or could do better, because that's a big reason why I came there.
Yeah, right. That's a great way of putting it.
That's interesting. And because you do have experience, and you got that Ovation nomination for a role that you had played last year.
It's crazy, because I've only been, I mean, I graduated high school in 2014, and I did my first professional theater show. It was regional with Cabrillo again. I've worked with Cabrillo a lot. I did Bye Bye Birdie. I was 17, and then, you know, I went to school, and I didn't do theater for for a year.
Who did you play in Birdie?
I was a friend of Kim, and my name was Deborah Sue.
Okay.
It was wonderful, yes, and I got to scream a lot on stage. But yeah, I took some time off, and then when I did Addams Family, which was only it was in the fall of 2015.
Yeah.
That's when I swung back into it, and then I got Children of Eden. So it happened very quickly. And so, you know, then the Ovation thing happened, and it was just very fast because I have so much yet to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel like I'm just getting started, and that I'm just this little, like, fetus in this universe of, like, all these experienced, amazing people. So it's just, yeah.
Well, you've made
quickly.
It on State of the Arts, so obviously now you've hit the pinnacle of your career. So I don't think there's any doubt about it. So, what's the next role for you? What do you got coming up next?
Oh, right now I'm
Is
doing
Sister Act?
Yes, I'm doing cool. Sister Act, and I'm understudying the role of Sister Mary Roberts, who's
wow.
the really quiet nun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be performing in the ensemble.
I love that role in the film, Sister Mary Roberts in the film. She was so just lovely and endearing and cute. Yeah. Now tell me, what's the dream role for you? Where do you see yourself going? What roles do you want to play in the future?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this is hard. I mean, I have to do like one of those really big singing shows. Like, I have to be in Les Mis at some point in my life.
Yeah.
I have to, like, before I die. I really, really want to be Louise and Gypsy so badly. And
yeah, that's a great role for you.
Gypsy's one of my favorite shows ever. And I really like Heathers, like any other college or teenage girl. And but really, when it comes down to it, if I could pick one, it would be Louise and Gypsy.
Yeah.
It really would. I absolutely love
great
her.
Role.
Yeah.
It's a great musical, considered by many to be one of the greatest American musicals ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It really is.
And it's interesting,
piece.
Too. You know, all of our contestants have to qualify for the competition to be in a certain age range, between 18 and 32. Some of them, and one of them in particular, who actually sang something from Gypsy during
right.
the competition, I suggested that he sing it because he was not set with his song on that particular day. And and he's a good mover, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, there's this, you know Gypsy, right? And he said, what?
Oh, no.
I said, Gypsy,
oh,
the musical?
Gosh.
And you immediately
oh.
punched
what?
Him in the nose.
No, not
Don't
at all.
Don't make me feel old.
Not at all. No. And I said, no, there's a great song called All I Need Is the Girl. Surely
yeah.
you've heard of that.
Right.
And he said, no.
Wow.
So I said, well, it's a song that would be good for you. I said, just, you know, be simple on the dancing and ideate some of those gestures and moves, and you could probably do the vocal very well because it seems like, you know, you're a dancer yourself. That's what the boy is in the song.
Yeah.
So that's why he did it. But I always get a smile on my face when somebody doesn't know those kinds of shows.
It's a great thing to be able to introduce that
Excuse
to
me.
Although it constantly makes me feel old because those movies, not only the movies, but going to see the shows when we could, were such a part of my growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And now you realize that there's a new generation of musical theater that's coming around.
Yes,
and people are now starting to see completely different things. And the other ones have sometimes had a gap in their knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, they've fallen into a gap, which is hard to watch.
Well, that's why the classics have to, you know, keep coming back to educate, you know, younger people in that era of theater, which is what we also do in this competition. We look to those golden age musicals and then some the more contemporary ones as well, so we cover all of our bases.
Last question from you here real quick before we dig into embarrassing moments for Daniel and for Natalia here.
Did you tell them about that segment?
I did.
Okay, good.
If they're under 40, I have to let them know, so I don't want anybody to be freaked out on the stage. So here, from my viewpoint, and I've lived in this town for 20 years and slowly made what some people call a career out of it. But I watched Stage Star, and I was vividly aware, sorry, Daniel, that winning was not the main objective. Although winning is fantastic and certainly well-deserved, the main objective is to grow as much as you can and make contacts, right?
Yes.
And while the money's nice, I'm sure, Daniel, too, there is part of it that goes on way beyond that, which Stage Star provides, which is the honest criticism from agents and managers and casting agents, but also the chance to meet them and have them find you for a project. Has that started to happen? Have there been conversations with some of the people you met at the show?
I've had introductions to a lot of wonderful people, you know, a majority of them being the judges or even just, you know, audience members that came and saw it. I think right now it's too soon to really
Were you able to see that perhaps not getting the main first prize was still not necessarily a problem if you get an agent out of this or if you make, and of course you have an agent now, but those kind of people, those kind of contacts are infinitely more valuable than a win.
Yeah, well my whole take on this, I mean, it's, you know, it's everyone's saying, okay, like I know it's kind of cheesy to be like, oh, it's more than just a competition. It's about, but it really is, because yeah. if you want, it's about building a career. We're all, I mean, I think it's safe to say for all of us, we're trying to build ourselves up in this industry, which is highly competitive, and it's so important to get yourself seen and get yourself known. And I joined this because I wanted to push myself. I wanted to do something that scared me, and competition settings can be very nerve-wracking, but also I wanted to get that exposure. And you know, I figured, okay, this is, you know, it's the LA theater community. Not a lot of people really know who I am,
yeah.
outside of Ventura County, which is where I live,
right.
and I really wanted to do that, and I wanted to see what these judges would have to say about me. That was just an unbiased viewpoint, like that if they were just seeing me for the first time and what they had to say. I was very curious, and it's about building a career for yourself and improving as a performer and
Absolutely.
Taking that feedback.
And at least they get to see you in a produced kind of way, as opposed
yeah.
to standing next to a piano in a fluorescent room
yep.
singing 16 bars or 8
oh,
bars
yeah.
of something.
Yeah.
And they're seeing you multiple times in some cases, and certainly they're getting to see yeah. you not with 400 other people that they've called in that same
exactly.
day. So that's
mm-hmm. And they're also in a totally different mindset.
Right.
So.
Totally.
Michael, it looks like it is that
it
time.
It does. What time is it? What time
and
is it?
And now,
oh.
embarrassing moments.
Oh,
totally
no.
different sound effect. Not even a
so
So obviously, you know what this is. This is the time where we ask people to share a moment in their career that might remind us all that we're in live performance and it's a family and anything can happen and you got to keep going.
So here's how we're doing it. You have 1 minute, Daniel. Then you have 1 minute,
great.
Natalia. And you're going to switch seats and get Mitchell
it's
up here in
okay.
musical chairs
here
it.
On State
okay.
of the
got
Arts.
It.
Go ahead, Daniel.
On.
What you got?
Okay, well, my most embarrassing theater moment, I was doing Parade. The most ecstatic moment of that show for me is this is not over yet. He's just notified that his wife is gonna, you know, steps are being taken to get him out of jail and declared free. So I'm singing
right.
this big song, and I sing the first verse, great, whatever. Second verse comes up, and I start the third verse where the second verse is supposed
Uh-oh.
To go. And musically, it does not line up. So I finish what is supposed to be this verse, and I have nothing left to do. So I just hold out this really long note. I just hold out a note for like maybe 15 seconds until I catch up to where the music is supposed to be, and then I come in and I finish the song. But my Lucille, she did not know what to do because her entrance is a cue of mine.
Oh no.
So I'm just holding this big note and like living my life, and she comes in and she's just like standing there staring at me. We finish the song and we go off, the whole cast is like, oh my god, what did you just
right?
do? What just happened?
Well, that may be the only time hopefully that ever happens
yes.
to you, but you'll never forget it, you know?
Well, it was just autopilot. I was
yeah.
just doing it and the wrong words came out and
oh.
it was awful.
Natalia, what you got for
All
us?
All right. Taking it back to high school, I was 14 years old, my freshman year, the glory days, and I was in this musical medley that like myself and like a bunch of the musical theater students put together because we couldn't do an actual show that semester. And I was in the big Circle of Life number with the Lion King, and I forgot my jazz shoes for one performance, so I had these just like these nude tights on with and no shoes, and I went on to the stage, and this was the one night that my dad and my grandma could see me, and I went up there and I slipped, fell on my face, and I like it hurt and it was so embarrassing, but I managed to cover it. I did this like snake move.
Nice.
I was like, oh my god, like what did that girl do? But that was also the night that it was videotaped, so I have this on video. This,
the creation like, of the serpent.
Yes. And then I fell again. We were doing these like chenet turns,
wow.
and I just this one girl was coming at me like a helicopter, and it was just a bam. Just like, and we just, and I face planted again. I could not cover that one. It was bad. So that was that.
Oh my gosh.
Mitchell, what do you got for us?
Ooh, I was high school production of The Wedding Singer. It was during Tech Week, and I played George. So this was during his like kind of big number, singing in Hebrew, pretending to play the trumpet. And as a character choice and a moment to show off, I decided to slide into the splits.
Ooh.
Every time I'd done it, it was fine. And then I just hear my pants go. That was not a good noise, but I heard my pants just rip, and I didn't think any of it. I just kept going, And I didn't even, like, you know, like, feel a breeze or anything. But I look on the audience, and it was tech, so the lights are up, and I could see my mom's face because she was volunteering. And just literally, just, she, like, clutched her pearls and had, like, one hand here and, like, gasped with her other hand. It's like, and then she started laughing, and I was just like, ah, oh, shoot, what happened? And I kept going and go off stage, and it's a rip all the way down to, like, my knee.
Oh, no.
Like, crotch to knee. Like, it was.
Oh, no.
And I just kept going because what else can you do?
But, oh, my God.
Crotch to knee?
Crotch to knee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, you did some splits
while singing in
there,
Hebrew.
And playing the trumpet?
Playing the trumpet. I also played the cowbell and the tambourine.
My
oh, wow.
Michael, I got to tell you, the talents. Youth and vitality in this studio today is amazing. The energy these performers have on stage, they've transferred in here. You got to tell me, is it just, it's got to feel just youthifying to be around that.
Youthifying. You're using lots of interesting words.
If you can say bantery, I can say youthifying, right? Don't you think that there's something to that, to being around young performers that gives you that chance to kind of feel young and to kind of relive part of that?
Well, you know, I kind of am like that anyway. I don't really acknowledge my age or any of those kinds of things, you know. So, that helps. That's why I do this.
Well, we obviously
I feel better.
We see great things for all three of you guys.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And
thank you
great
for being with us.
Be sure you keep in touch and let us know what's going on as you move forward.
Yep.
We will.
All of you. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Michael. Great to look across from you today, this Thursday.
Absolutely.
Have a great
right
week.
Right back at you.
We'll look forward to seeing you where next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.